Thank you. system, and we'll also make available, like I mentioned, we hope to have it, the draft bill ready by tomorrow. And we'll send copies, if you'll call my office, that number is 465-3893. We'll send you a copy, or else you can, we'll telecopy it tomorrow to the LIO offices around the state so that you'll be able to get a copy to review.
Thank you very much. I'm working with a group, but I'm sure we'll help them.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Okay, there was one other person in Anchorage who wished to testify. Mr. Club?
This is not accurate.
Okay. Thank you very much, then, for the testimony. And if, after we have the draft bill ready, we won't move the bill out likely tomorrow, although I expect that we could. There are several other committees that the bill is going to before it's through the process. Representative Boucher is now present also. So we certainly appreciate having your input. However, I guess what we need to do is get our draft bill ready so we see what concerns are taken care of and what things still need to be addressed. So thank you for your testimony. Yeah.
This is Bill and Jim. This concludes the teleconference portion of this afternoon's House Labor and Commerce Committee meeting. Please send your final stats in the PCJA office. Thank you. And
Keep tight.
Is that all that was there to testify? Yeah.
There was several other people to testify, but I asked them to get that one on each side.
Oh, all this was out of the record.
Call the meeting officially to order. We now have a quorum. All members are present. We have several bills before us. We've just taken testimony on 494, which is a lien law bill, and we're supposed to have a draft ready by tomorrow. So 494 will be held over until tomorrow for all those who
are here. Are you going to send us a draft of that?
As soon as it's ready. Excuse me. Are you from out of town? Is it? No, okay. Because if you are, take your testimony today. Okay. And yeah, I'll get you a draft as soon as it's ready. It's being worked out. Which would extend the period of time for stop payment, put some penalties in there. It tries to make it a little bit more even-handed. Representative Cox has been working on that. Okay, we have several bills before us today. 532 is the tort reform bill. We are working on a draft of that. I'd just assume wait if there are no objections, and if you have suggestions, please get them to me. We're planning on working up a draft over the weekend, which incorporates the concerns that we talked about at our last meeting. If you have some others, we'll try to adopt those. Next bill we'll take up, I'd like to take up, is House Bill 506, an act relating to insurance and providing for an effective date. This is the bill that allows pooling, and also it includes reinsurance. What I would like to do with the committee's concurrence is draft a committee substitute that allows pooling, and I think we could even include nonprofit corporations and things like that, allow them to pool if they want to get together. But I'd like to take out the reinsurance part and just send that on to the finance committee, which this finally goes to the Judiciary Committee and asks them to consider it. It's a fairly large fiscal move, what I understand. Probably $100 million for the reinsurance fund. And I think in light of the revenues, that's something that we could agree that it might work, but I don't think we're going to be able to capitalize it. Representative Collins.
Thank you, Representative Mark. At the Anchorage Caucus, today, a suggestion was made that perhaps some of the volunteer areas might be given a either a limit or a defense against liability. For example, like the pickup service for the people who obviously have to make training, those kinds of things.
Yes.
If there was something we could do, and I wonder if this might be the most aggressive, if you would do it in another piece of legislation.
I'm not really sure. I don't think this would be the proper one to do it in. We're talking about limits, and I'm not sure. I think we could probably do it in some other bill more easily. Maybe even in 532, make it more comprehensive to exclude certain things. But I agree. We've got some people who are willing to run around and pick up people who are too drunk. We shouldn't subject them to liability.
Some of the shelters and some of the I think primarily the volunteer organization should be have some kind of regress to that.
Yeah. Representative Hanley.
Thank you. Was Representative Taylor, he was here yesterday.
I don't know. We'll see if he's going to be here to address it. I know he had a judiciary meeting. We were going to take this bill up yesterday, however, we didn't make it off the floor. We have a sponsor substitute.
Does this sponsor substitute pick up the, drops out the reinsurance portion?
I don't think it's a...
You had a bill like similar to this, didn't you?
There's another one similar to this.
Isn't your bill very similar to the insurance pool?
Yeah, they covered a different,
why could we put the two together?
I'd like to see something go out of moving, so I'm not sure. Holding money.
And the problem, of course, with what Representative Collins talked about is that some of those types of things are going to have some real serious legal implications. And judiciary is going to struggle with them. Because I, quite frankly, am not sure what...
Well, go to judiciary next.
Yes, it does. But as far, I think we, and I'd like to get a consensus opinion, I think that we're, at least the people that I've talked to, are interested in allowing municipalities and school districts and nonprofits to pool in order to self-insure a hospital.
Are you going to take the testimony on this bill?
Yes, we will. If Representative Taylor gets it. Representative Pierce?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It looks as though Section 2 establishes Chapter 79 of the Insurance Fund. Section 6 speaks again to that same fund. Section 9 says when Section 2 would take effect, and Section 7 repeals something. So we certainly want to leave 2, 6, and 9. I guess conceptually we have to figure out whether 7 needs to go or come, depending on what it needs.
Right, the reinsurance part.
Yeah, do you want a motion to do that? So
well,
we just have the
current
insurance in front of us.
What I think I'd rather do, because we have both a House Bill 506 and a sponsor substitute, and I think we can just draft a committee substitute for that original House Bill that would allow pooling, and I know that Representative Taylor wanted to speak to the reinsurance because he has some ideas on it that he's convinced it will make money for the state, but I'm not sure we can capitalize it.
Let me ask you a question, Mr. Chairman. Is this bill, this obviously looks like a draft now, and maybe I've asked the same question and I'm getting wrong in here, but has this been introduced formally, the sponsor substitute?
Yes.
Yes. I think I asked the same question. There's so many bills, I don't know anymore.
Okay. So
we'll tend to have a sponsor substitute.
Did I hear from 506, you mean?
Yeah.
I know that. John Coates from the Division of Insurance. I'd like to take your testimony, but I think Representative Taylor should be here in order to listen to it. So let's like to hear Representative Taylor's response to what Mr. Koch says so that they can, otherwise.
I won't be talking to the reinsurance board.
Okay.
The DIA, I have some suggestions.
Okay, I guess, well, why don't we wait and see if he comes anyhow. And I'd like to get some idea also on 522. We had a lot of people here the other day to testify on 522, and we didn't take it up. And I know there's some people who are concerned about what the effects of it will be. And I'm not sure why there aren't a lot of people here on insurance today. I think maybe because of the way the teleconference was set up that they thought it was lien laws rather than insurance.
That's what the schedule said, yeah.
Well, yeah, but it says also says insurance up bottom. Doesn't it?
No, it didn't.
Yeah, I thought that it said insurance 2 days and then
Tuesday, Wednesday was insurance.
And lien laws and insurance on the bottom.
Could
I get a copy of it?
Sure.
My mistake. I wasn't trying to put anything over. Figure it out. Tibbetts?
Yeah.
Representative Collins?
Yeah, I'm at the table, HB 522.
Okay, table. Next, we'll go back to House Bill 506, which is Representative Taylor's bill. And you can speak to either bill if you'd like, sponsor, substitute, or the original bill.
Thank you. Are we in talk on?
No.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would you remember the bill that this original bill should be disregarded? There were some changes that were made by the people who assisted me on this, and I received a tremendous amount of assistance from the Department of Insurance. I can't state to you that I have the administration's support on this because the administration has not yet arrived at a point of decision on this legislation. I feel that with time and with an opportunity to be heard from the experts that this legislation will be supported, but that's only my own conjecture. That with the administration yet. As a consequence, I think the committee has been unable to receive some very important testimony from people that would have been very helpful to it. Also, because of scheduling difficulties beyond the control of this committee, it was impossible to have people here today at the right time to give you these words. But let me start off in this fashion. House Bill 506 is not an original idea to me or to this state. The concept has been utilized in the past in this state, and in many other states it is presently being utilized. There are, at this time, over 100 pools that have been in effect in the state of California for over 10 years. They've never had a pool go broke. I would also add that in the state of Alaska, and I've mentioned this to the committee before, the Alaska Lawyers Association in 1967 felt they were paying too high a rate for their workers' comp and created their own insurance company. It was called a reciprocal insurance company. These are all words of art within the insurance industry. By forming together, pooling some assets, they then moved on to become self-insured. On the questions of workman's comp coverage. They then, of course, purchased over and above their initial level of insurance what's called reinsurance. And that additional reinsurance provided the extra layer over the top, blanket, if you will, for their maximum bottom line exposure, which would have taken, of course, a cataclysmic event for that type of exposure to come into play. They were very successful, and every single year they were in operation, they paid a retro payment back to their membership. In essence, their membership had overpaid the amount of total claims that they paid. That's continued through 19 years of experience, even though the company was sold in 1975 when Insurance Company of North America came in and purchased them. Part of the purchase contract was that the same loggers who owned Alpac would have to, and own the stock, would have to place their workman's comp coverage with the new INA carrier, Alpac 2, we'll call it, for a five-year period. At the end of 5 years, the loggers found themselves being ripped off again by such a high rate of insurance that they went out and created another insurance company. This one is called Alaska Timber Exchange and has been in effect since 1980. Alaska Timber Exchange has also paid a retro payment back to its insurers every single year and has averaged approximately 40% under the market rate until this year. With approximately 2 days left to run on their reinsurance carriers notified them that they had to put substantial additional amounts into reserves and increase the price astronomically. Their cost of reinsurance went from $300,000 $800,000 up front, and when the final numbers come in at the end of the year, it will be closer to a $900,000 cost for their reinsurance.
What's some Taylor, do you know if that was a result of claims against,
no.
Or was it just claims against the reinsurer?
There has never been in the history, in this entire historical period of 19 years, they have never filed a claim that reached to their reinsurance coverage. Okay. So as a
consequence, this seemed somewhat devastating. These people, they were required, because of the reinsurance company's demands, to reserve a tremendous additional amount above and beyond what they had before on a ratio basis, and had to dramatically increase their workman's comp rate. This was all done within a two-day period of the time that their insurance would have terminated at the end of the year, and they've been searching for some time. They seriously debated, the board of directors did, whether or not to not carry reinsurance. I mean, they've never used it in 19 years, and they've got less people logging down there this year than we've ever had in the entire history of the company. Our logging employment rate has gone from about a high of 4,600 to 4,700 workers to below 2,300 workers right now in a two-year period. So as a consequence, it was less than half the risk out there, and yet the rate for reinsurance tripled on a policy that had never had a claim filed. To give you an example of what the capabilities were of just this one little pool, if you will, this one little group of people, upon their formation of ALPAC, within a three-year period, they had expanded to the place where they were not only covering workman's comp, they were also covering liability coverage, and were for several years the state's primary liability carrier, this state, ours. They also had branched out into three additional states. Now, they were able to do that because they had sufficient amounts of capital. They also had letters of credit, and were able to work with some insurance companies to get off the ground. Our state laws have been such that since that time, it would take someone with equal amounts of capital even to get to start. I view this insurance crisis as a problem of high premiums. No one came yelling to the legislature 4 years ago about tort reform. No one would have come this year but for high premiums. And if the premiums were reduced, our people would get back to work in many businesses that today cannot find any coverage at all. We believe, from the discussions I had just the other night with the CHAR group, that over 80% of their membership is uninsured on third-party liability and going bare. We know that various trucking firms in the state are presently going bare, even though this may be illegal with federal law. The Truckers Association, the CHAR Association, Alaska Air Carriers Association are all currently looking into pools and have indicated to me that if this legislation passes, they believe they will be able to utilize it. The Alaska Municipal League and the state school boards have gone even beyond that point. They have structures now coming into place. Whether or not this legislation passes, they will probably do something. If it does pass, it will greatly assist our school boards and our cities throughout the state that belong to the Municipal League. Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry.
That's the pooling or the reinsurance?
Both.
Okay.
And I'd like, if I could, Mr. Chairman, explain that. The difficulty is that if a group of us, say, here at the table, decided to insure our own homes together, and we would pool our assets and create a self-insurance pool. The difficulty is that though we might have enough assets to cover one loss, or maybe even two losses, we probably couldn't cover seven losses. So we would have to have some additional coverage just in case we hadn't figured right. And something really strange happened. Right. So as a consequence, we'd be able to get together and maybe provide one another with $20,000 coverage. That won't help us much on a $100,000 house. So as a consequence, we would also be forced to do the same thing the Alaska loggers are doing, turn to a reinsurance carrier. And basically, those reinsurance carriers are presently dictating the terms to the first level of insurance. They're not only telling us how much it'll cost with a blanket over the top, but they're telling each of these companies under them, you're going to have to change your policy in this fashion, you're going to have to do this, you're going to have to do that before we'll even take your policy. So as a consequence, to have only half of this bill go through would be like Solomon cutting the baby in two. It won't live. It would be a very pyrrhic victory. A very few groups in the state might be able to organize pools a little more conveniently with a little less restriction than they can today. But they would still have to turn to the same groups that have in essence run away from our Alaska markets.
In a quick presentation I saw from the Municipal League, I think he indicated that they could could get reinsurance through a national municipal league, that they're prepared to go that route for their reinsurance. I haven't heard that from school board, but they sound like they've got a real good source for the reinsurance. I know they're very anxious to have the pooling provision.
The closer, I believe, Representative Danley, through the chair, that we get to passing this law into effect, the more promptly you're going to see the reinsurance market reappear in Alaska. These people don't want to lose those premium dollars because they're tremendous numbers we're talking about. And they have they've run away from the market, I believe, in the attempts to jack it up in a high rate. And when forced with or faced with potential competition, they'll return. That's my prediction. But the prediction is also shared by some other members of the insurance industry that I've talked to, so it's not based on any knowledge that I might have. But in addition to that, there are major business enterprises in our state which are still going to have a very difficult time finding insurance, especially reinsurance. Our state faced that problem some years ago and in essence became its own self-insurer. Anchorage is now its own self-insurer. It only seems fair that if the state could do it up here in Juneau, look at all the billions, really, of dollars we've invested in school buildings, and through municipal sharing that we have an interest in municipal construction, that we are requiring those smaller cities and communities and school districts out there to all turn to the same insurance market that we as a state and administration have decided not to participate in. And it only seems fair that if it's good enough for the state and we're willing to run those risks for our own activities, that maybe we ought to take a hard look at our investment posture. There's been a lot of concern expressed about the high fiscal note that has been testified to on this bill. I consider that an inappropriate designation. It is not a fiscal note in the normal fashion that we're talking about spending any dollars at all. You want to look at it this way. If instead of forcing the Alaska loggers for the last 19 years to pour money down a rat hole into a reinsurance policy that they never received a dime back off of, wouldn't it have been nice if all of those hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars would have come into state coffers? And what we're doing right now is we allow a group of people in this state, and I think they do a very fine job of it, to invest our state dollars into various investments to make a higher return for us, whether it's our PERS account, or our teacher's account, or it's across the street on the permanent fund, or the reserves of undistributed income that haven't even moved into the permanent fund, that may be eaten up in this legislative session, or needed in this legislative session. But people have to make decisions about how will we invest our money. And I would really call this an investment note, not a fiscal note, because fiscal note has a negative connotation. This investment note says, are we going to invest in gold at $600 an ounce? Or are we going to invest in known Alaskan business enterprises and associations that are creating the basis upon which we even exist as a state? And I'd much rather bet on Alaska than I would on gold.
That's an interesting thought, and I hadn't considered in that light. We've heard from several different people that the state should not be in the insurance business, period. And I guess philosophically, look at it in terms of whether or not that's the responsibility of the state to try to determine whether or not we should offer reinsurance. On the other hand, if we're getting the short end of the stick in reinsurance, we're not really competing with in-state reinsurance markets. I mean, they're national or international at best, but we have absolutely no control over. One of the problems I see in this reinsurance fund is that in order to do it, what we're going to have to do, I think, is essentially set up the same type of mechanisms that the insurance companies do. And I mean, there should be some considerable administrative costs, and quite possibly that could be taken out of the premiums. I think that's what's intended.
I don't think it would be as high as you might contemplate, though, Mr. Chairman, because in the reinsurance field, you're only going to have... It's going to take a very, very significant claim to ever reach to that level.
Well, I would like to make sure that we have some significant risk management included in our reinsurance policies. Otherwise, we leave the state wide open. Yeah.
Well, I only contemplate this bill, and there's two catches in it, Mr. Chairman, that I think provide some of the protection that you've expressed a desire for. And I share that same desire. I don't want to see my state in the insurance business. But my state made the decision to go into the insurance business some years ago when they decided it was too expensive for the state to pay for. So they went self-insured. And when Anchorage did the same, they made that decision. The city of Anchorage will be in the insurance business. In essence, be self-insured. But the two catchers I've thrown in there so as to keep the state out of the business, so to speak, is that this situation will only be allowed reinsurance where insurance is either unavailable, no market is offered at all, or unaffordable. And that can only be determined after a hearing with our insurance people across the street over here. Okay. So as a consequence, not every Tom, Dick, and Harry can come flying in and say, you guys are cheaper, I'll buy your reinsurance. Affordability is going to be a determination that the department would have to make, and I'm sure they would make it in light of a historical perspective. What, on a percentage basis, what have you paid in the past?
Yeah, but what, yeah, I guess then you have to get down to determining what is,
what's fair or expensive. Well, they're the best ones to make that decision, Mr. Chairman, because they're supposed to be making that same decision every single time an insurance company in this state is licensed to do business here says, I want to raise our premium. Before they're allowed to raise those premiums, our people have to say that's okay. And so I think they're probably the best group of experts we have to rely on. It will take one more person over there that we don't have. It's going to take a good actuary.
At least one,
yep.
I guess.
It'll take a good actuary, but that should be, for the outset, Mr. Chairman, for the next year or so, that probably would be the only additional administrative person they would need over there to handle the reinsurance question. We're talking of $100 million to $150 million, and if they go at $100 million, you're looking at a maximum leverage of about $300 million in total coverage, which isn't by anywhere near the total Alaska market. It's only a portion of it. But it would allow additional funds flowing into that market, so that as funds flow into a reinsurance market, that in essence is competition for the reinsurance premium dollars that are available, and thus those premiums go down.
Nice thought. We get to create our own competition to drive down the price.
Well, I like it from this perspective, Mr. Chairman. I share the humor in that, too, but we're not competing with anybody in this state.
No, but...
and we already did it, you know.
I suspect that if we were able to get something like this through, we'd find out just how much competition there is in the reinsurance market.
I think you'd also make a real big discovery, Mr. Chairman, and that is how much profit there is in it. I personally conceive of that $100 million as being the best $100 million investment we can make as far as net return back to the people of this state. Right now, under the rates that are presently being offered and quoted, it ought to beat the stock market about threefold in the first year. And again, that's not me talking, that's the insurance people I've talked with.
I think it's really important that General support of the bill. I think it's really important not to oversimplify and to think that just because we get the insurance company out of the deal that we're going to be saving money and be profitable. In example of Alaska Timber Exchange, you are collecting very successfully, but I've worked very closely with that organization for the last of all the years that they've been involved, and the reason that they're successful isn't merely because they took the insurance companies out of the process, but because they had a very aggressive risk management, very aggressive return to work program, very aggressive safety, and very aggressive education programs for the employers. So it isn't just a matter of taking the insurance company out of the picture, and I think I'd be concerned that with ATIE, it's a small enough group, they're all similar people, they were all loggers, and it was very easy to maintain control, and I'm concerned that in a group that maybe has some more disparate parts to it, that control will not be as tight, and we might not be as successful as we anticipate with that.
I agree completely with Representative Collins, I really do. The best examples I can give you in the state, other than the timber people, are my fishermen down in the southeast district, in particular in Petersburg. Some of them are still members of pools that are over 40 years old. They self-insure, if you will, their own vessels. They regulate who can come. But these insurance pools for the borrowers I was telling you about, over 40 years they've been self-insured in these pools. They're the absolute lowest rate on the West Coast right now, those pools are. They're about a penny. Millions of dollars of boats. They can't buy reinsurance. After 40 years in the business, they can't get reinsurance on their boat. I mean, I suppose it's available, but it's, again, it's an astronomical premium that they're willing to assume that risk at this point. And there's another market, and as a consequence, it's a market where our actuary can go back and have 40 years of claims experience to look over on that pool, 19 years with the logger. And I really believe, as Representative Collins has indicated, the more alike the group is, and the more small and concerned the group is, the more tenuous they'll be of policing and claims adjustment and the rest of it. And the larger the group gets, and the more diverse, like the Alaska Municipal League, or your state school boards, where you're not dealing with employers who have their own money invested, but you're dealing with employees, oh heck, it's just the local pool, we can go ahead and do this one, or we don't need to follow up on this claim or be safe. I think they'll get sloppier the bigger the bureaucratic organization is and the less personal involvement there is. And I think they'll be tighter the smaller you get with them, because it's literally their own dollars that they're talking of here. And they know if they keep their claims down, they get a bigger retro payment back 2 years later. And really, there's a whole lot of real positives in there for building a good program, where if you're just going out and buying insurance from Okie of Oklahoma, what the heck, let's file the claim. They got to pay it anyhow. And there's a lot of different attitudes. Those loggers went to the place that they had safety programs you wouldn't believe. They had a gal would come on, they had cassettes they put out, so that when the crew got in the crew truck in the morning to go to the woods, they'd put the cassette in, they'd play some country western music, and a gal would come on and she'd say, now make sure you don't rig your, you put your rigging too high on the stump so that it'll pull off and kill somebody today, and another song would be played. They came up with all kinds of inventive ways to keep accidents from happening in the woods and were very successful. But aside from the monetary aspects and the fact that so many of our people are literally either out of work or their businesses are shut down because of insurance, it's got some really salient side benefits that come along with it that I think, if nothing else, make it worth our attention.
Thank you, Representative Galen. Is there any other questions? If not, you're welcome to join us at DocCoach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Don Koch. I'm Chief of the Market Surveillance Section of the Division of Insurance. As you're probably already aware of, but we don't really have a position on the bill yet. However, there are some points of it that we feel we can talk to and we can speak to, and maybe if we can fulfill the source of a resource type of a role, maybe answer some questions. There are a couple of things that I like to comment on that Mr. Shelley has commented on, and I'm not trying to be argumentative, but there are some things that you may not know that are a little different. In the case of the Lauders program, you're quite correct, they've been in business since 67. They started out with the Alaska Pacific Insurance Company, which was a stock company they formed back in 67. As a matter of fact, I went to work for those folks in 68. That's how it came. They were into workers' comp, they went to general liability lines, and they went to the inland marine and so on, equipment, property, and that. They were, about 1972, 73, they were purchased by the Insurance Company of North America. There was a falling out sometime after the pipeline started, B 75, 76, where the loggers didn't feel they were getting the loss information they wanted. And frankly, the INA was sort of messing things up at that time anyway in terms of the data they had in their computers. And they weren't getting that proper information. So they went out about 77 or 78 somewhere there. until about 2 years ago, or losses generated from about 2 years ago, Mr. Kelly is quite correct, they have never penetrated their reinsurance treaties. Starting with losses about 2 years ago, they have in fact penetrated that. We're still trying to quantify just how deeply that has occurred. General Reinsurance Corporation was their major reinsurer, in fact, they're one of the largest in the country. And they took a look at the timber exchange and felt that some of the controls that they had were not sufficient for their purposes. And they elected to get off. They told the timber exchange about this. The hassles started when they're trying to find new reinsurance. They were able to, in fact, they had prior tests of what was going on. We knew just before Christmas that it looked like it might have to close down. And at the last minute, I got a call from Don Bell saying that they had, in fact, put something together, a little more pricey than what they had before, but in view of the recent penetration and some of the controls they didn't have, I didn't have any choice. So I think there's a great deal to be said for the way that particular outfit went together. Some of the reinsurance problems, I think, were possibly predictable. One of the things that happens when an industry grows smaller and it depresses the economy, particularly as it is in the timber industry, you do have fewer people working, and your controls on who presents the losses and the size of them starts to get out of control. And what, in fact, happened to them was they started getting more losses for their population size and their premium just didn't bear. So they had a number of problems. I think they're going to fix them. And hopefully they'll get an advantageous reinsurance position back again. Another point is that on self-insurance, the state is, as you've heard, Total Claims is a self-insurer. However, they are a self-insurer for an underlying layer. They too must and do go out and buy reinsurance. Frankly, I don't know the numbers. Risk management could best tell you that. Last I heard, it was somewhere up around $several million for their retention. But beyond that, they do in fact go into the same market you're talking about. The last point I'd like to make on the reinsurance aspect of it is this is kind of a policy thing, I guess, but an observation for you. The bill does provide that you can only access this reinsurance pooling, or this reinsurance mechanism, if there is a certain finding that it's not available. The concern that I would have, being one who's involved in rates on a regular basis, is that that may create an adverse selection for the reinsurance organization to put together. And that may prove to be a killing impediment. In other words, that could be something that you may not want to do. In other words, you may not want to, if you go the route of forming one of these things, saying, okay, our policy is, decision is that we're going to have this reinsurance available from the state. It may not be advisable to put yourself in a position where you only get the ones that nobody else wants. Because then what you're going to find is you're going to find the ones that have a problem. And you may not be able to deal. It may be more of a problem than just their size. And I think Mr. Taylor is correct in saying that reinsurers do penalize the smaller units. And part of that is because they just don't know what they're going to, what to expect. A lot of that reinsurance pricing is sheer absolute win. You take a guess, it's 50% judgment. Primarily because of the sizes of the losses you're dealing with. You've got a lot of unknowns in that area. You could go for 50 years and never have a loss, and then you have one that might be enough to wipe everything out. Your spikes on what your profits and losses are going to be that spikes. You're not going to have an even flow like a small kind of... Even if you let everybody in the state, reinsured everybody in the state, I think you'd still have that problem because they're just too small. So you may not want to limit it to that issue. Having made those comments, I'd like to also make some comments on the JIA portion of the bill, the joint insurance arrangement for municipalities, school districts, and REAAs. The Senate Labor and Commerce Committee yesterday held a hearing on the same issue. I can't remember the bill number, not that that's important, but they have made some repeal the AS 21, 21, 36, 19, which is called the fictitious group statute. Rather, what we would suggest is that you modify it.
What is
repealed back on.
This is actually a substitute.
Yes. Yes. I have the sponsor substitute. Section 7 on page 13 of the sponsor substitute, there's a repeal of 21, 36, 19. What that statute does is it prevents fictitious grouping. However, it also has a section in it that says if you have an association with bylaws and a constitution, and frankly you don't need to cut bylaws and constitution for a group of municipalities, I guess they have a local municipality, that what you need then is, in order to group, is a safety group. So that if they have a safety group where everybody's participating, and then you allow them to group, because that's a reasonable reason to group. X that, there is really no reason to favor them over any other single entity. What you may get into, what you would get into, is an unfair discrimination amongst groups, because some of them, by the fact that they have formed this little group, they have a market or competitive advantage over somebody who hasn't been able to find somebody to group together with them and to ensure that we'll wipe that. Now, what happens is that when you form a safety group, and this is in workers' comp, when you form a safety group, the insurance company has something tangible to get a hold on and to review and look at, as does the insurance division. And they can say, yes, that can be expected to reduce the losses that will arise out of that group. And therefore, the rates ought to be lower. And therefore, you ought to allow them to get whatever economies they can along with that. And so for that reason, what we would recommend in this bill is that you not remove that, rather modify it. That can give you some language that will accomplish that. The next thing that we would suggest is that you not permit, let me back up a second. The JIA does two things. It allows the municipalities and the other groups to get together with the JIA and either assume coverage, assume risk, self-insurance, or to jointly as a group buy coverage. And we are suggesting no real limitation on their ability to buy coverage through one of these JIAs, because there's lots of things we can do, but the language I'll give you will change the fictitious group statute in a way that will pretty much fully allow that, with the exception of workers' comp, which we say should have a safety group involved. But for a group assumption of risk, we think that you ought to exclude workers' comp. You have to require that, at least in the case of workers' comp, that they cannot reach self-insured. Now, what the Senate has done is they have even further limited it, and they have kind of two versions, Plan A, Plan B policy. In one case, they allow assumption of risk for property owners. In the other, they allow for everything except workers' comp, annuities, life insurance, title insurance, and surety. And frankly, either one of those options we'd be content with and we would see no objection to. And frankly, would suggest that you consider one or the other, but you do take workers' comp out.
Chairman,
Taylor.
I don't have a problem with that, I guess, but I would like an explanation. What happens then if we do not allow the groups to assume that risk? Are you then saying that you can form a group and you can assume some limited risk, like with your property? When it comes to anything else, even though you formed a group, we're not going to let you assume the risk. You have to go out and buy insurance.
Yes. That's pretty much what we're saying. But what we're saying, too, is that if you go out and buy the insurance as a group that has a safety mechanism, you're going to find pretty much an advantageous situation. And you can write retro plans and cut it right down to bare bones. Witness, in fact, what has happened with the timber exchange. For that purpose, that's a good example of how finely you can tune the numbers. You can use retrospective rating plans, you can use dividend plans, you can use schedule rating. There's all kinds of ways to hone that thing down real fine. Plus, the individual municipality still has the option of going in and qualifying as a self-insurer itself. And in fact, when they do that, they purchase levels of excess. It's one of the things the Department of Labor looks at. I think you may be creating fits for the consideration for anybody that's going to be self-insured. And frankly, part of the logic behind it is they're concerned with some assurance that the not only is that employee going to be paid, and frankly, with municipalities, I wouldn't worry about that too much, but is it going to be paid timely? And that may be a problem, particularly if all of a sudden they find themselves in a position where money isn't all there. And they have to somewhere find it. And there may be delays there. We just think that the market is such now with workers' comp that it's not necessary to think of it.
I don't think I probably have a problem with that, but I do when it comes to the remainder of your statement, I think, which indicated that other than real property.
Well, that's okay.
I may have taken, understood you wrong.
There are two versions, and we have no problem with either one. One version limits them to property only for assumption of risk. That happens to be the bill the Senate is looking at. They have a second version that's called a reserve or something else for consideration that basically says they can assume risk jointly under the JIA mechanism for everything except workers' comp, title insurance, life insurance, annuity insurance, surety insurance. So
I wouldn't have any problem with that.
I don't have a problem with it, which means that they could then go out and jointly assume the liability risk. They could jointly assume the property. Their marine coverages, if any, they would be able to do all of that. I think that's probably a reasonable thing to do. They're big guys, and they've got the municipal league. They who seems to have a fair understanding of how these things are going together. They seem to be getting good advice. So I'm not particularly troubled with their being able to do that. The other proviso you've taken care of, and that is that we're out of the issue of insurance.
Is additional language necessary now for this committee to accomplish that within the bill as was set before?
Yes, sir, it is. It's not much.
Would you provide that?
I can provide that this afternoon or tomorrow morning.
Each of the amendments, Mr. Chairman, that he has suggested to your committee, I would consider friendly amendments along with the stipulation that be the amendment to Plan B, or whatever it's called, the Senate. That's all I have.
I'm just curious, I would like to know the sponsors' reaction to your suggestion that one statute should not be repealed but modified.
Yeah, on the workman's comp, I don't have a problem with that.
Now, that modification would also exempt the municipalities who have formed the JIA to opt out of the fictitious grouping statute altogether. So it takes that one group out. Altogether, except for any time they're going out to group purchase workers' comp, in which case they must have a safety. So they get everything they want in terms of fictitious group statute, except that they have one provider, and that is if you're going to form a workers' comp group, they have to have a safety group as part of that. And the language I'll provide you, you'll have what is necessary to accomplish that.
I had another question, Mr. Chairman. Are REAAs
covered
under the
law?
REAAs
are,
we'll see.
Yes,
I have been exposed.
Yes. Okay. And our testimony in the Senate and what I've given you today considers the REAAs.
From Senator Copeland.
Yep. What about non-profit agencies? There's a suggestion which I've been trying to agree to.
Yeah. I'm not so sure that ought to be a part of this bill. The JIAs, you're dealing with basically entities of the state, if you will. Municipalities, school districts, school education fiduciaries. Those are all either direct entities of the state or quasi. And if you start taking other private firms or private entities, albeit under contract, I would see some problems. They don't have, for example, through the municipalities, the taxing authority. They may not have the necessary stability.
One of the problems that we are starting to see now is that a lot of nonprofits get grants from the state, and their insurance premiums have raised so much that all the grants are being used for is to pay the insurance premiums. I mean, that's all that it amounts to. That's not exactly what they're used for, but we provide them money so they can provide services, and they raise funds in other ways, but their insurance premium cuts into...
Yeah, as a resource, I can answer that.
Well, the state would have to assume the operation of the service.
Either that or hold the service harmless. If what you're looking at is some bureaucratic mechanisms in there that could be done away with, such as this review necessary to determine whether or not certain conditions exist in the marketplace before you allow the use of it. It's got to be there. If the decision of the legislature is to create something like this and have it there, I don't know that you want that impediment because you'll end up with an adverse effect. Another thing is, with something like this, when you're considering the actuarial needs, maybe better off contracting for those. I don't know how often this is going to occur, but put an actuarial staff at a time. But to get one who is good at this, this kind of thing, you probably have to pay more than the government.
You don't have to do that for railroads. And one other question. Do you foresee the passage of this bill and its enactment causing premiums to come down?
I don't think so. I think what would happen is you'd probably stable out on it. In looking at the experience of the reinsurers, in fact, that the insurance industry in general in the past few years, the ones who have been burnt the worst are the reinsurers. We're looking at some combined ratios of 150, 160, 127. No matter how much investment income you throw in, you can't offset that. And they have, in fact, not been profitable, which is part of the reason why we're having some of the problems we're seeing right now. Because reinsurers are shaking out the stuff they perceive as contributing to that current experience. I think what you're going to find comment earlier about there's a lot of judgment in developing the reinsurance rate. Some of the things that the reinsurance underwriter has to take a real hard look at is how well is it managed? What kind of organization do they have? What are the claims experience do they have? The kind of people that they have that are going to be adjusting these losses? Are they able to control as a larger difference rate than the years? Their losses, are they going to be in there with the safety control types of things? Representative Collins, I think, is very familiar with some of the things they have done. They know, and certainly put them in the tail end, and they have a very good representation of just how they act. They did some real innovative things. And for a long time, it worked great. They're just in the down cycle now, is overcoming need of that. I don't think it's going to have a big immediate effect in the fiscal lines. I don't really see the rates changing dramatically.
But you don't see it going up either.
Not because of this alone. Okay, the losses, and they take it up, but no, not because of it.
Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I talked a little bit ago about municipalities indicating that they had a national group that they were going to join with to purchase their reinsurance. Then the other groups we got included in this bill, school districts and REAAs, would they have the ability, if indeed the state was not offering reinsurance, provided that they could pool, do you think that the opportunities for them to purchase reinsurance, much as, you know, is there something available out there that you're aware of if the state didn't get into the reinsurance?
School districts would probably have an easier time than the REAAs. I am not sure about the REAAs. Municipalities, you know, may have something to play with. I think the school district's going to be able to find it. I'm not sure about that.
Would municipalities, okay. Would they be in the same pool of municipalities and school districts possibly?
It could be in the same. The problem is if the reinsurer that you're talking about is also willing to extend REAAs, in which case that would resolve that particular problem. I'm not sure if they would take that view.
You mentioned at the beginning of your talk about our state of Alaska bills purchase no reinsurance. Is that required by bond? Council, is that
required? If I may refer that one to, I don't know what level they really do that.
I don't think it's legally required that bond council feel better when
you feel more comfortable with that.
Absence of future unfunded liabilities.
Sure.
Do you recall what level they reinsured with them?
They basically are excess insured, not reinsured.
Right.
In normal times, that's about a $7 million lump aggregate per year. Above that, they're insured. On individual claims, depending on the type of claim, it varies from $100,000 to $900,000, you might say that's the state's deductible. The REAA's property insurance is 60 cents a thousand, more or less. The state's is 6 cents a thousand, more or less, to give you a comparative idea of the risk.
How much value is it?
60 cents a thousand. That's the current figure. The state's worth 2 cents a thousand. It's up to 6 cents.
Is that based on claims experience?
It's based on
purchasing
power in the market, economies of scale, 10-year-old risk management programs and loss control, and building code upgrading, and the fact that the REAs, they should come down because they've burned down about everything that's burnable, as far as I know. I'm not an expectation. I'm one of the reasons the risk could come down. Fast track along with this bill. In other words, they're moving ahead as this bill moves ahead.
bill gets jiggered or goes down, they'll divert on their sort of design build process they're in right now, and you know, come with a Bermuda cap people or Lord knows what, but they'll do something. There's things there they can do. There's something called a co-op.
No one's ever been born there, has it not?
It's in the law. It must mean something.
Well,
they're desperate. They're desperate. That's,
yeah, and they're going to do it. They have a very, very highly qualified risk manager advisor who is very innovative and aggressive, and they have good brokers, and they have their association together. I cannot say as much for the municipal league. I wish I could. I've done everything except literally scream at them, but they basically are marching in place, as I understand it. There is some effort to form a Southeast Alaska-only municipal pool, quote-unquote.
They were looking for a reciprocal, I shouldn't say,
a reciprocal. A reciprocal, I'm sure it was reciprocal, but
thank you.
We have a perception that, like, quote, if Anchorage gets in it, they'll ruin it, unquote. Those things, they're silly perception. The more and bigger you can get in, the better it will work.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't take anything but grade school arithmetic, but the boogeyman, Anchorage is a boogeyman. Municipal league membership, I believe, has gone to 52 and then to 60. It used to be, you know, maybe 20. Insurance was available through a program that Frank B. Hall has with them. I have a facilitating program on. Membership tripled at least in the municipal league. I have a lot of problems with the municipal league when they're faced with municipalities that own hospitals. Things on the horizon that are bad in the liability picture. There's things that are bad coming from federal Medicare, connected with our health insurance, or what we call disability insurance, but health insurance analysts up in Anchorage have alerted them to it. Seen no action. Called them and asked if they have a subgroup of hospital municipalities that own hospitals.
No.
I'm afraid I probably said more than I should. We are ready, willing, and able to work, and you know, help doing. I mean, we can help groups like this an awful lot right now, and we do. And we don't go home and forth. We'll go where we need to go and do what we need to do to help them. The ones we've helped form things seem to work. One of them that was helped form in the very early days when he first came to the state in insurance regulation went on to be a major independent property casualty company. It worked. Michael make money if it works right. If Michael worked, there's the deductible now.
It worked well.
The school district thing will work if Mr. Green and John Haywood and the current officers of the School District Association stay to it and you know, grit their teeth. And it'll work. We'll make it work. Yeah. On other fronts, there's no movement, they're counterproductive movement.
We get lots of inquiries. People are trying to do something. At least, they'll put cover the water to see what can be done. Kevin, I could have that number 41st in the community.
That's okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. Representative Hale?
Kevin, would you like to take a motion to move the bill with proposed amendments?
I would rather not, because today was supposed to be 494 and it wasn't scheduled as insurance, so I would rather not move it.
Then we'll have the amendments tomorrow.
Chairman, I'm getting a little late, but I did hear the comment on social service organizations, and in line with my municipal comments, I think I should tie that together. Many of the social service providing nonprofit corporations provide that service to a municipality under contract. And in general, the municipalities bend to reality slower than the state does. I mean, I get copied on letters that they copy you on, many of you, and they say, you have to have $5 million to provide this psychological counseling at the Lord Cape Cuckoo School District or something. And they, service thing, and their broker say, we can't get it. And Ms. Dodd says, you have to have it. And they say, we can't get it. And Ms. Dodd says, you have to have it. And what can I say? It just stays like that. Somebody goes on council, somebody goes on paid, some grant goes on spent. I mean, a municipality can't require something that's not available for practical and legal reasons. That violates substantive due process. One of the very few examples. Am I right?
The state is in the same
boat. State's exactly in the same
boat. We're requiring air carriers right now to carry insurance, and so does the federal government. And either the insurance is unaffordable or unavailable. We're requiring truckers to carry it. So then can't afford it.
Truly unavailable, not only unrealistic, but technically unconstitutional.
Unfortunately, we just don't have a law in the state to require borrowers to have third-party liability insurance for 80% to be shut down. That might have a salient benefit.
We have been able to help some of these nonprofit social service providing small contractors with five or six or seven counselors or somebody. We've been able to help them by basically having them patch and fill with various brokers and maybe wrap part of their insurance under a municipality or school district, talk them into going without it.
I would like to see that amendment put in. He wants to apply cap and non-profit amendments into the bill.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, is that Representative Taylor?
I know it's been part of it. I relied on them.
As long as we retain the final discretionary approval,
okay.
Maybe if we at least collect the ones for 20 but really can't do it, we can lump them together and come up with one that can.
Call it discretionary and you still have the
last. As long as we retain some handle, because we know that some groups are too small and too sort of thermal. To ever have it go.
Do spacey.
Now, yes, I guess my only closing question to both of you would be, if in fact this legislature decided to put $100 million into the reinsurance market, and you people were the ones who would be responsible for the management of that money, can you tell me that you're going to lose money, or that you're going to make money, or are you afraid of it, or I'm willing to try it, or anything like that?
I got to answer that fairly succinctly. We're definitely not afraid of it. We haven't lost, quote, lost money, unquote, from MICA. That money is a loan. Right over there, the notes are up in Treasury, payments are made on them, money isn't gone into some poor, first damaged child's pocket. The basis is still over there. I think $100 million in reinsurance clearly will create a better market atmosphere. It will show some confidence. If it's a loan, it's not really going anywhere. You're just carving it out in a separate account somewhere. It's not going to move. It will allow them to write $300 million, conservatively speaking, really, $300 million in coverage. Now that's...
Except that you want to be very conservative, so...
Yeah.
I don't
look at the treatment. Okay, say $250 million. How many 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 million umbrellas are there in that? One heck of a lot. And with reinsurance, insurance companies will write it. And if the market is dropping, an insurance company can sell insurance at $10, turn around and reinsure 100% at $9, it will make money.
In fact, once you have a single, I guess, there's nothing in here as far as the reinsurer. You don't reinsure itself.
Absolutely.
And frankly, if it will, it would be crazy.
It will if we are allowed to advise the board and manage it and so forth, and it will, just as MICA will or everybody will.
That's my contemplation in this bill.
Yeah. And I believe that if you're ever going to do it, given the budget situation, Lord knows how, you can sell it to anybody, but if you're ever going to do it, the market is loosening. The guy that does the river workers' comp reinsurance program. It's basically $161 million deficit finance subsidy to the employers in Minnesota.
I think you also told me that because they were very poorly managed, they weren't doing anything that they should have done right, according to industry.
I think that speaks for itself.
$161
million in debt.
A better example I'd like to give you is the guest speaker that the State Chamber of Commerce brought to Juneau and invited us to their banquet, who spent his time talking about tort reform. I spent 2 hours with him afterwards talking about pools. He manages 7 different pools, was one of the creators of a pool called, I think it's called HAL, Homeowner's Warranty, or Home Builder's Warranty Pool. It presently, and the reason the Home Builders Association got together and went for this is because they couldn't find a single insurance company in the United States to write the policy for.
That was clear under federal act, the risk of contract.
Right. And he was he's involved with that back there in Washington, D.C. They got $77 million right now in reserves. They've been very lucrative and offer a very, very low, low rate and promptly take care of claims. So all he could tell me about after dinner was the success stories of pools and how he spends a lot of his time working.
Okay, all the bills will be held over until tomorrow. Are there any objections? There are no objections.
Let me have the time.